Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message.
MXP stands for Multiplying Extraordinary Prayer, and we're about to go into a series, and it's going to take as long as it's going to take, okay? It's going to be like Thessalonians. Thessalonians, I was like, we're never going to get done with Thessalonians. Like, Jesus still has stuff to say about Thessalonians, and we just did it until we were done doing it. Or the altar series, that was awesome. We just did the altar series and the fear of the Lord series just until we felt like God had said what he wanted to say. And what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, I don't know, months, who knows, years, is we're going to be talking about prayer. And the reason is because Jesus said, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. Reading the Bible. Oh, that's not exactly, although that's amazing and we need to do that. He said, my Father's house would be called a house of prayer. That's right. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the things of heaven happen on earth. And if you want to see the things of heaven happen on earth, we have to do the things of heaven on earth. Did you know prayer's even happening around the throne of God in heaven as we speak? In fact, that's what Jesus is doing right now. The Bible says he's interceding for us. Jesus, even though he died and resurrected, never stopped praying. So we're just going to talk about prayer until we get it. And I don't know about you, but God's already up to something, and I think he has even more in store. Could you feel today something's going on? Yeah? Show me your hands if you think, wow, something special is going on in this room. Something special is going on. And if you didn't feel a little bit of fire, and your wood's wet. I mean, that last thing we just sang, you may need to pray that. Answer with fire, God. I need some of that fire because I don't feel any of that stuff. Holy Spirit, light me up. Help me to feel what you're doing passionately in your heart. Let that thing be passionate in my heart too, right? Well, we've been meeting in this kind of weird configuration lately. So before we move on with the sermon, let's just talk about this. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's different. Usually the way that we preach and the way we receive the word in the Western tradition is set up like a movie theater. The weird thing is, the reason it's set up like a movie theater is because our spaces were designed by the Greeks and the Romans who invented theater. So the reason that we worship that way in the church is because we designed our worship not based on what the Bible says, but based on what the Romans did, which is they went to the theater. In the Bible, worship is responsive and reflective, and it happens around the throne of God. So this was kind of an accident. We just thought, what would it look like if we just did Christmas service and we did it in the round? And then it was cool. And so we started thinking, wow, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that kind of speak to what we're doing right now. In fact, if you look in the book of Revelation, everyone's around the throne of God. The four living creatures are around the throne of God. The 24 elders are around the throne of God. There are circles of worshipers for all of eternity around the throne of God of people worshiping. And we thought, you know, what if we did on earth what they're doing in heaven? I wonder what would happen. So we're trying it, okay? It turns out we can get more people in the room this way. That's a blessing, right? But there are also, I mean, there's some drawbacks. First of all, it's weird. Super weird. Who said super weird? How dare you? I said worship was responsive, not preaching. So I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's weird. We're not used to it. It's weird because if I'm talking to you, then these guys are seeing my back. I'm talking to you guys. These guys are seeing my back. I mean, it's different, and it's going to take some getting used to. And I don't know if we're going to keep it this way. We don't know. What we're doing is we're trying it out, and we're going to worship God to the utmost of our ability because he's worthy, regardless of how we're sitting, right? So all I encourage you to do is worship the Lord, give it a chance, and then we're going to ask everybody what they think. And we're going to weigh the pros and cons. So Jared thinks it's awesome. And ultimately, we want to know what Jesus thinks. So Jared, if you could tell us that, that would be awesome. Okay, good? Everybody good? All right. Let's start. So I just got 5 minutes knocked off my sermon because Karen just preached, you know, the best thing that I could have possibly said about prayer. How many of you guys appreciate what Karen shared with us from the Lord? We believe that the Lord still speaks, and so we want to hear from him when he does. And when he does, we want to say HBO. Yes. Say H-B-O. That is not a streaming system. HBO is hear, believe, and obey. This is the key to answered prayers. Hear, believe, and obey. Say hear, believe, obey. When the Lord speaks, I'm listening. What he says, I'm going to believe, and then I'm going to do something about it. So you're going to hear that over and over and over again. Say HBO. Hear, believe, obey. Now you know how to pray. All right, I'm done. You want to do an altar call? Okay, a lot of times we don't pray because we hear these big words like supplication and intercession, and maybe you come from a culture or a tradition where prayers are very formal, and you don't know how to pray if it's not in that formalized prayer. But I just want to tell you that prayer is the most natural and the easiest thing on earth. In fact, Joyce Meyer said, prayer is simply talking to God like a friend. It should be the easiest thing we do each day. And it may not have occurred to you, but we just finished talking to God. We just did it with a melody, and we called it praise and worship. But praise and worship is prayer because it's a conversation with God. And prayer is also praise and worship because it elevates him and submits our hearts to him. These are all the same thing. We have been in a conversation with God since you stepped into the room. And this is actually a continuation of that conversation. Okay. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you something else about the round, okay? Because this is weird, and because I might have my back to you sometimes, I'm going to ask you for a few things. Last week, this was hard for me, because I was sitting right here next to where my wife is, and Josh was preaching this way, and I was looking at his hiney the whole time, which is distracting for multiple reasons. Not because it's nice. I did. And he got nauseated. Why did that happen? So because this is different, this is what I'm going to ask. First of all, stay engaged. If I'm looking at you, stay engaged. If I'm not looking at you, stay engaged. So I had to sit really forward in my seat because this is different and I'm not used to doing this. I had to really, really focus. Most people focus better when they take notes. So this is my encouragement. Daniel, you're the man. You can play bass and you're a disciple. Disciples take notes. If you want to stay focused, get out your phone, open up a note, and start taking notes. Disciples take notes. Notes cause you to grow, and it helps you to engage and to focus. So right now I said she's shuffling all over the place because people are getting out their phones and they're getting out their pens, and they're going to start taking notes. Because taking notes says, okay, God, I'm ready. You have something to say to me. And I'm ready to write down. Second thing is, for me, this is distracting. So I'm sitting right here, and I can see all of you guys. If you're picking your nose, I can see you. Right? If there's movement, it's distracting because I've got this ADHD thing going on. Just stop it. I can see you. I just said I can see you, and he stuck his finger up his nose. The people of God. How do you put up with this? So this is what I'm going to ask. Let's try to minimize distractions, okay? Like, there are things that need to be done. If your baby's crying or needs your help, we want you to take care of that. If you have to go to the bathroom, we want you to take care of that. If you have to go to the bathroom frequently, sit by the door. If you notice that your coffee cup is empty, we don't want you to take care of that. That's not that important. Can I tell you something? And I think you're going to agree with me. This is sacred time. This is a holy place, and I come into this place and I receive as much as I prepared my heart for. So if I treat this like a sacred time, I'm going to get a sacred word from the Lord. But if I just treat it like I'm watching a video and I can pop up and down anytime I want to, you ain't getting nothing. So I want to ask you to focus, to stay engaged, and as much as possible, if you got to take care of something, do it. We want you to do it. But if you don't, even if just for the sake of the person beside you who's trying to get something, let's just minimize distractions. Is that okay? Yes. Are we grown up enough to hear that? Because we're the people of God, right? We're the bride. We're not the baby. Are you guys okay? Amen. All right. Love you guys. Oh, I hope you love me too. Jeez, I just hate it when people don't love me. All right. Then let's thank you. Let's pray. Father, we submit ourselves to you right now, all over this house. If you want to have ears to hear, just turn your hands up towards the Lord. Lord, we ask that you would teach us something today. We submit our ears to you, our hearts and our minds to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would transform us. We want to be more like you. We want to have understanding where we have lacked understanding. We want our behavior to be aligned with your behavior. And we want to learn to be people of prayer. So Holy Spirit, teach us today. And I pray, Lord, for myself that you would give me eloquence of speech and clarity of thought. Nothing of harm would come out of my mouth, but only what's a blessing to your heart and your people. Help me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you know that God does almost everything through relationship and communication? There are some people that teach that God actually, because he gave us dominion over the earth, that God can't do anything on earth unless we pray. I really don't like to say God can't do anything. I think that's kind of arrogant. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say that God can't do anything unless we pray. But it does appear that he doesn't do anything. I don't know if he can't do anything, but for whatever reason, this is the mode of God. He does everything that he does through conversation and relationship. That's what it looks like in the Bible. Now, at any time, could he just step in and go, I'm just going to do this? Absolutely. He totally could do that. But it seems like he does everything through relationship and conversation. Let me show you. Anytime you want to see a pattern in the Bible, where in the Bible do you go first? The very beginning, that's right. If you want to see a pattern in the Bible, the first place you should go to Genesis. If it's true for the whole Bible, it's almost always in Genesis. So what we're going to do is I'm going to review real quick. You've heard this before, but what I want to do is look at the pattern of God, how he does things, how he makes things, how he creates, and we're going to start in the very beginning in the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:3, it says this, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." We've read this over and over and over again, heard this from the time you were a little kid in church, if you were a little kid in church. Let there be light. And kind of we have this picture of God and like he's sitting on his throne, right? And he's sitting there and he's got his scepter in his hand and the angels are all buzzing about doing their deal. And he says, let there be light. And the command goes forth from the throne and light appears in the sky. That's not exactly what this means. This is in the jussive tense in the Hebrew. The jussive tense is an indirect command based on a strong desire. So this is what is happening here. Something is boiling in the heart of God, and he's so passionate about it that he begins to talk. And when he talks, he doesn't talk about something. He's not talking about light here. This is important. He's not talking about light. He's talking to light. The jussive tense is speaking to something. This is what's fascinating about God. God doesn't command things to come into existence. God speaks to things and they come into existence. In other words, the way things exist is God forms a relationship with them and he communicates with them, and the very act of him communicating with that thing makes it become. So this is another translation. This is the Wycliffe Bible. And God said, light, not talking about light, talking to light be made. What? This is a different perspective altogether. God's not commanding a thing out of nothing. God's talking to a thing that doesn't exist. And when he talks to it, it exists. God does everything through conversation and relationship. Here's another way you may read that. Light, you may exist. Light. Light doesn't even exist yet. Light. It's in the heart of God. Come forth. You may come forth. You may exist. You may be made. Wow. Okay. So what happens if we read the entire story of creation through the perspective of God's not talking to, he's not talking about these things. He's talking to these things. Verse 6, God said, the firmament be made in the midst of the waters. He's not talking about the firmament. He's talking to the firmament. Verse 9, forsooth, God said. I love the Wycliffe version. I was just saying the other day to my wife, forsooth. Looking good today. Forsooth, it's good to have you home from Texas, my dear. Forsooth, thou art welcome in the land of Alaska. Forsooth means truly. Forsooth means in truth. So when it says forsooth, it means truly, God said, the waters that be under the heavens be gathered into one place and a dry place appear. Waters be gathered. He's talking to the water. Verse 11, he said, earth, bring forth green herb. He's not talking about the earth. He's talking to the earth. Verse 14, forsooth, again, God said, lights be made in the firmament of the heavens. Then there was the sun and the moon and the stars. He's not talking about the light. He's talking to the light. Are you guys following me? This God makes things by talking to him before they can talk back. And when he talks to them, he initiates a conversation and they respond to the conversation by existing. Am I the only person that when you hear stuff like that, my brain goes, doh. Okay, Ethan's back there going, this thought reverberates through the entire Bible if you get it. Then God did something incredible. Every single thing he made it by talking it into existence, conversing it into existence. Then he talks to somebody else when he makes Adam. Genesis 1:26. You guys know this. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. He didn't say man exist. He talks to somebody different. Who did he talk to? He didn't talk to Adam. This is weird. This is the different thing. God said, let us make human beings in our image. Who's the us? Watch this. John 1:1-4. You guys already know this. This is one of the wildest scriptures in the Bible because John is getting pretty metaphysical with us, right? He goes, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Ooh, the Word. He's talking about the Word like it's a person. He's not talking about your Bible. He's talking about a person. The Word already existed. The Word was with God. What? The Word was God. What? He existed in the beginning with God. There's something in the beginning with God? What is this thing in beginning with God? God created everything through him. This is a person, him. God created everything through this other person. Who's this other person? And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Who is the Word? That's exactly right. And if you guys go down a little bit further, in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. When God created human beings, he had a conversation with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He had a conversation with himself. He made people by talking to himself. Okay, guys, here's the weird takeaway here. This is the first prayer in the Bible. The first prayer in the Bible is actually God talking to God. God talking to the Son, and the Son talking to the Father, and the Holy Spirit, like we were just singing, hovering over the waters of creation. The first prayer conversation in the Bible is God talking amongst himself about making you. And I think this is why prayer is such a necessity in our lives. Because you were made out of prayer. You were made from a prayer. And what you're made from is what sustains you. You were made from a conversation with God. All right, I'm the only person that thinks that's wild. The first prayer in the Bible is the Father talking to the Son. This is a mega theme. We're going to see it throughout the entire Bible. That God seems to do everything he does collaboratively, and he does it conversationally. That's why when God does awesome things through you, it's not because he's using you, it's because he's taking you to work with him. Yeah. It's because he does things collaboratively. He doesn't use human beings. We use tools. We don't use people. God doesn't use you. God, the point in prayer is not to get something or do something, it's to know somebody. That's the entire point in prayer. So when God moves in your life and through your life, he's not using you, he's collaborating with you. He's working out his will and his purposes and his kingdom, and you get to go to work with him. That's awesome. So this is the way God created everything. He created everything through conversation. Did you know it's how he made you in your mom's womb too? The little spark that brought you into being was through a conversation. Watch this. Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. This is Isaiah the prophet speaking, right? And it's kind of a prophecy too because he's speaking about Jesus, but it's a thought that also applies to all of us. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Watch this. Before I was born, the Lord called me. That word called is the Hebrew word kara. It means to proclaim. That means before you even existed, Ben, there was a nothing where you were going to be, and the Lord said, Ben, you may be. And that's how Ben came into it. The Lord proclaimed him. Ben, exist. He was made out of a conversation. An initiated conversation. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. That word is really cool, zakat. It doesn't mean just to speak. It means to remember. Now think about this. How did God remember you if you didn't even exist yet? How does God remember a baby that never existed? Oops. Did you know we live in a timeline? God lives outside of time. God can see all of eternal time all at one time. And God knows your end from your beginning. God remembered you before he put you into the timeline. And when he remembered you, he proclaimed you. He said, Josiah, be. And because you're an obedient person, you obeyed and you exist now. You began your life in obedience. You heard, you believed, you obeyed, and you're here now. Every single one of you, the very first thing you did to exist is hear, believe, and obey. That's why you're here. You just forgot how to do it. Wow. Me too, by the way. I'm really bad at it, but I'm trying. This is how God does everything. This is how God made me. This is how God made you. He creates through conversation. In fact, this is how Jesus did everything. Have you ever wondered how Jesus could walk around doing all of this God-sized stuff? We think like he's Superman. We think Jesus just walks in the room and he was just like, I don't know, he was eating his donuts in the back and they said, hey, this girl's dead. And he's just like, I got it. And he just walks out and boom, the girl's not dead anymore. Hey, this guy's got a demon. I got it. He puts down his newspaper and walks over and boom, this guy didn't have a demon anymore. We think that Jesus just walked around doing stuff simply because of who he was, but that's not actually how it worked. Watch this. For 3 years, the disciples hung around with Jesus. Let's look at this. And they noticed something really important about him. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Wait, if you're the Son of God, you still need to pray? You can't just be? You can't just be awesome because you're the Son of God? You actually still have to talk to the Father? That's crazy talk. Do you know the disciples saw Jesus? Tell me some of the miracles the disciples saw. What did Jesus do that the disciples witnessed? He raised the dead. That's right. Did the disciples ever ask him to teach them how to raise the dead? No. Nope. What else did they see him do? Heal the blind. Did the disciples ever ask Jesus to teach them how to heal the blind? No. Nope. What else? He healed lepers. Did disciples ever ask Jesus to teach them how to heal lepers? Nope. Never did. What else? He cast out demons. Did the disciples ever ask Jesus to teach them how to cast out demons? No. They saw miracles every single day, and they never asked him how to do those miracles. There's a reason they never asked him how to do those miracles, because they noticed a pattern in Jesus' life, and they realized where his source came from, that oil that Karen was just talking about. They realized he wasn't doing this stuff in his own power. It was coming from somewhere else. You want to see me prove it? Dare me. All right, double dog, it's on. Luke 3, 21 through 22. Who here wants to see the heavens open? Anybody? All right, I've got like 17 people. The rest of you don't want to see the heavens open? You're scared of what's going to fall out? You're scared. Heaven's going to open and like, angels, ah! I want to see heaven open. Who else wants to see an open heaven over Alaska and Unite Church and our homes? Okay, that's right. Luke 3, verse 21 through 22. This is the day Jesus went down to be baptized. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. You know what we should do next week? Let's baptize some folks. If you haven't been baptized, or if you need to be baptized again, or if you're recommitting yourself, come next week. We're going to baptize people. And if you have friends, you should bring your friends. They don't even have to be prepared. We can just Jesus juke them when they get here. The Holy Spirit will get them. And we have everything they need already. Change of clothes, towels, we have all that stuff. And they can decide on the spot, and we can baptize them, because even Jesus got baptized. He himself was baptized. Watch this. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." You know why everyone was freaked out by that? Because they prayed all the time and God never talked back. This is the first time they ever saw anybody talk to God and he talked back. Boosh! And the heavens opened. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? This is in Luke 9:16. 5,000 hungry people, they've been listening to sermons all day long and they didn't bring their own Twinkies. So 5,000, this was actually just men, the families with them, it's probably more than 5,000 people. It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, because that's all they had, was a few fish and some bread. And looking up to heaven, he what? He gave thanks. Guys, you know what that's called? That's prayer. He's talking to God. And he broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Holy cow, he filled them. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. He did the same thing again when he fed 4,000 men and their families. He took 7 loaves and fish, thanked God for them. Again, he prayed. And he broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Who wants to help people? You want to help people, but you do not have the ability, you don't have the finances, you don't have the provision to do it because there's too much need in the world. Anybody feel that way? Yes. Jesus felt that way too. So you know what he did?
What?
He prayed. Glad you asked. Jesus walked on water in Matthew 14, 23 through 25. Right after he fed 5,000, he prayed, he fed 5,000 people, then watch what he does immediately after that. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to Jesus, it's like a pattern. It's weird. It's like it's on purpose. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, this is great. Can you imagine what the disciples are thinking? He sent the disciples to the other side of the lake and told them he was going to meet them there, and then he climbed up a hill and sent them on a boat. They're probably thinking, how in the heck are you going to meet us there? We're going to get in a boat, and you're climbing a hill in the opposite direction. You're going to go up a mountain. Well, I guess he had a plan. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. They're in a boat on a storm on the Sea of Galilee. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. What was Jesus doing before he was walking on the water?
Praying.
He was praying. He didn't just get up in the morning and go, you know what I think I'm going to do today? I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to freak those guys out. They're going to be out there pulling on the oars and stuff, and I'm just going to pretend I'm going to walk by them, actually. And then when they think I'm a ghost and they freak out, I'm going to go, come on, just kidding, don't be scared. No, he got this ability, this power, this anointing because he'd just been up on a mountain praying to his Father. You don't just go walk on water because you feel like it. Who wants to see miracles in their lives, things you've never seen happen, and things that the world needs to be able to see because we have a powerful God? Do you want to see that? That only happens when we pray. Then in John 11, 41 through 44, have you ever wondered when they came and told Jesus that Lazarus had died, why he waited a full 2 more days before he even set out to go see them? Watch this. So when he went, he talked to Mary, he talked to Martha, his friend is dead. And it seems really insensitive because when they told him, your friend is dying, He didn't drop everything and go. He stayed where he was. And he stayed, while he stayed where he was, his friend went from very sick to very dead. And even then, he didn't rush to get over there. So when he shows up, they're irritated with him because their brother's been in the grave for 4 days. And he was only a one-day walk away from them. Not even that far. So when he shows up, there's a lot of frustration. Have you ever felt like God let you down? That's honest. They felt like God let them down. You ever felt like God wasn't on time? Yeah, I felt that way too. Jesus steps up and he tells him to roll the stone away because Lazarus is dead and buried. Martha says, we can't do that. It's going to have a really bad smell because he's been in there for 4 days. Jesus tells her that if she believes, she's going to see something incredible. So they rolled the stone aside. This is verse 41. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Hold on a second. He just started praying. When did the Father hear him? This is important. When did the Father hear him? This was not the first time he prayed about this. This was not the beginning of his prayer for Lazarus. What if he wasn't there for 4 days because he'd been praying for 3? Because you don't just walk up to the grave and raise somebody from the dead unless you've been spending time with the God of life. This is what I think. I think he spent 3 days fasting and praying, knowing that he was about to confront a dead man. For 3 days he prayed. He says, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing around me so that they will believe that you sent me. In other words, I've already prayed about this. I'm just saying this so that they know that I'm talking to you and that this is your power doing this. Guys, this is strong. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. With his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth, Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. Guys, just the way you were born in your mother's womb, Jesus said, Josiah, live. Jesus speaks to something that is not. He initiates a conversation and that comes into existence. This is what he just did with Lazarus. The way you get a dead man out of the grave is you start a conversation with a dead man that brings him to life. Jesus raised Lazarus through a conversation. He was praying with his father, and then he turned around to the dead man and said, he spoke. He spoke his name, and when Jesus initiates a conversation with somebody, they live. How are you and I going to have life any other way than the way that these people did? How are our families going to have life any other way? How is our community going to have life in it any other way? You know, he cast out demons this way too. The disciples couldn't cast. Remember the demon the disciples couldn't cast out? He told them, go around casting out demons in my name. He's up praying. He comes down. They're trying to cast out a demon. They couldn't get it to go away. Finally, Jesus casts out the demon. The Bible says in verse 28, this is Mark 9, it says, afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with the disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayers. That's right. Prayers. Even Jesus prayed. Now, so why didn't they go around asking, God, teach us how to cast out demons. Teach us, Jesus, teach us how to raise the dead. Teach us how to walk on water. Teach us how to feed 5,000 people. Because, listen, you can either take a master's class in how to heal people and how to deliver people and how to raise people from the dead, or you can take one master's class from the master and do what he did. So instead of taking 5 different master's classes, all they did is they went to the master because they recognized what he was doing to get those results. So instead of asking, teach us to raise the dead, they said, teach us how to pray. You see? Instead of saying, teach us how to heal, they said, teach us how to pray. People write whole books on how to heal. Jesus just prayed. People write whole books on casting out demons. Jesus just prayed. Guys, you know what the secret is to doing the things Jesus did?
What?
Do the thing Jesus did. Yeah. Jesus prayed. Do you know that Jesus prayed throughout his entire life, and the disciples witnessed him doing what? Before he went into ministry, he went into the desert for 40 days, and he did what?
Fasted
and prayed. Before he went to the cross, he went to a garden called Gethsemane, and he did what?
Prayed.
The entire time he was on the cross. What kept Jesus on the cross? The whole time he was there, he'd suck in a deep breath, and he'd pray. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what that is? That's a prayer. In fact, Jesus' last moment on earth before he died, guess what he did?
Prayed.
Yep. Luke 23:46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Jesus didn't even die without talking to the Father about it first. Jesus talked to the Father through every situation in his life. Everything he did through prayer. Guys, are you getting this?
Yes. But it's confusing.
Is it?
To me it is, because I didn't know God when I was younger.
So this is why we're talking about this. She just said something honest. To me, this is confusing because I didn't know God when I was younger. This is what prayer is about. Prayer is about having conversations with a God you don't know so that you'll get to know him. And out of that conversation, everything in life is born. Everything that's God-sized, in fact, everything that's God-sized that's ever happened in your life has happened because somebody was talking to God about you. I can guarantee you, if you're in this room right now, somebody's been talking to God about you. We even pray for the neighborhoods around here. If you just walked in and nobody even told you about this place, somebody was already talking to God about you. I used to think that God did miracles in my life because I was special. I thought that he liked me more than he liked other people. In fact, before I got saved, Jesus saved my life twice, and I knew it was God. One of them, I drove off an overpass, and one of them, I fell off a cliff, and I knew that God saved my life. I didn't like him. I didn't follow him. He was not my Lord, and I knew he saved my life. I just thought I was special. It must just be because I'm special. Gee, I know. Only Zach would think that. I was an arrogant kid. You know that I got healed miraculously several times before I got saved, and I thought, I must be special. When I got saved, Jesus showed up and I saw him and he spoke to me. I received the gospel from Jesus himself. I don't know that that happens to very many people. When that happened, one of the first thoughts I had was, I must be pretty special. I am special. Like a different kind of special, that other kind of special. And it's true. Does God love me? Yes. Does he love you? Yes. Are you special? Yes. But I can guarantee you that the reason God was doing these things was not just because he loved me. I found out later that God loves my mom. And that my mom was praying things like, Lord, save my fool son. Dear Jesus, save my fool son. He's messing around with evil. That's what my mom sounds like. It's exactly what she sounds like. She doesn't sound anything like that. Save my fool son. God saved me because he loves me, but he was talking to my mom. God healed me. He loves me, but he was talking to my mom. Somebody's been talking to God about you. Somebody did, or you wouldn't be sitting here right now. I 100% guarantee you that. In fact, the Bible says Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for you. Somebody's praying for you right now, even if you don't feel it and you don't know it. I remember going downstairs when I was in high school, and I'd see my dad's Bible open on the table because he went to work at 5 o'clock every morning, way before anybody else got up. And even though he had to leave the house at 5 o'clock every morning, he still opened the Word and talked to God. My dad was talking to God about me. I guarantee you, nothing God's size has happened to your life unless somebody's talked to Jesus. We have kids that are alive right now because we were talking to Jesus. Sam, have you guys met Sam? Have you guys met my 14-year-old Sam? You'll meet him. He's in kids right now. He's watching some of your infants and toddlers. I'm going to say that means he's in good hands. Your kids are in good hands. Sam's a good kid. But when Sam was born, it was a miracle. Jennifer had to go in for an emergency cesarean. Sam had stopped growing. And the doctor was really concerned that he was going to lose both of them. So he brought me into an operating room as they're wheeling Jennifer in for an emergency cesarean. And the doctor said, "This is a really dangerous moment. We could lose both of them. If I were you, I'd pray." And he tossed me scrubs and ran out the door. And so as I'm putting the scrubs on, I'm praying. And as soon as I get the scrubs on, I hit the floor and I start praying for the life of my wife and my son. Because a doctor had just told me we could lose them both. They come in and they grab me and they pull me in the operating room, and everybody is really serious and they're working on Jennifer and they're working to try to get this baby out. Her blood pressure is just dropping to almost nothing. She'd been passing out for days. She was having all kinds of problems. Her blood pressure is dropping. The baby's heart rate is going to almost nothing. Finally, they get this baby out of her. They did a cesarean, so they opened her up. They pulled this child out. They hold him up, and there's this purple little scrunched up person who is showing no signs of life. So they take Sam and they take him over to one of the tables, and the nurses are working furiously on him to try to get him to take a breath or do something because he's not doing anything. And finally, I walked over and I shouldered him out of the way and I said, "Samuel, this is your father. In the name of Jesus, breathe." And that little booger went, and then he squealed like a pig. His very first act after being born was to hear, believe, and obey. Somebody was talking to God for him. "Guys, I want to see God-sized things happen in our church. I want to see God-sized thing happen in my life. Do you want that?"
Yes.
So some of you may be thinking, I don't even know how to begin. I don't even know how to talk to this God. And this is exactly what the disciples were asking him. Like, how do we do this? So in Luke 11, 1 through 4, it says, "Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, 'Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Now, if you ask Jesus, "Teach me how to pray," what you think you're about to get is, this is going to be the master's class. Everybody sit down, take notes. This is going to be awesome. He's going to tell us all the secret. How do you pray and people raise from the dead? What were you doing for those 3 days? How do you pray and you walk on water? Tell me, how do you do these things? Let me show you Jesus' master class. You ready? Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." That's it. A lot of you are used to hearing, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You can pray it with me if you want. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Which is an awesome prayer. But at the same time, you know, when I read that the first time, there are a few things that occurred to me. First, it's short. It's really short. That means prayers don't have to take a long time. The reason Jesus prayed for 3 days, because it took 3 days before he felt the power of God enough to go do the thing that God had called him to do. You pray until you have the peace. You pray until you feel the power. You pray until you're ready to go do the thing. But it doesn't have to be a long, just start the conversation. It doesn't even have to be a long conversation. Just start the conversation. Martin Luther said, "The fewer words, the better the prayer." The fewer words, the better the prayer. Doesn't have to be long. One of the best prayers in the world is, "Jesus, help. I need your help. I can't do this." That's a great prayer. The second thing that occurs to me, because we're used to hearing this in King James English, we think there's something mystical about it, you know? But there's nothing mystical about this prayer. If I were to make a sermon about this prayer and it would have all the same letters, there'd be five P's. First, it's personal. Second, he talks about purpose, your kingdom come. Third, he talks about provision, give us our food today. He talks about peace, forgive us our sins. I want peace with you, God. Help us to forgive others. I want peace with people. And then he talks about protection, lead us not into temptation. That's it. They're just P's, just five P's. It's not that big a deal. In fact, this may be one of the most mundane prayers that's ever been taught. I'm not saying it's boring. I'm just saying it's completely normal. The things he was praying about are things that are in your heart every day. And that's actually why he was praying about those things. Before I came here, I was in Texas, and I was supposed to do this Holy Spirit conference at MCA Church across town when I came back. I thought that I was only speaking one time, but then I found out I was supposed to teach four times. And which I was not prepared for. And I had all this stuff going on in my life. It was really, really busy. And I had no idea how I was going to have enough time to put together four sermons. So this is another thing that Martin Luther said. He said, I have a lot to do today, so I'm going to spend extra time praying. Usually when we have a lot to do, we take time away from prayer. But if you have a lot to do, that's when you need to pray. So I went down to the pond around our house, and I'm walking around this pond, and I'm trying to pray about these sermons. God, help me. I don't have anything to tell to your people unless you tell me. Teach me something I can teach them. Give me some kind of direction. But the problem was that my heart was really heavy about a lot of things because there'd been a lot of things going on in my family. And so I was distracted. How many of you guys have a hard time praying because you're distracted? Yep. Anybody? Just be honest. I have a hard time praying. I have a hard time praying through my list and paying attention because I'm distracted. Right? So here's my problem. Prayer's not supposed to be a list. In fact, as I'm walking around, I keep getting distracted and I keep going, I'm sorry, God, I'm trying to pray about this. But then I start thinking about that. Oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm trying to pray about this. But then I start thinking about that. Finally, I heard this voice in the back of my head say, I'm like, God, I'm sorry, I can't stay on target here. I heard this voice in the back of my head say, that's because you're praying about the wrong thing. And so instead of praying about the thing I thought I was supposed to be praying about, I just started dumping my heart out to God. God, my heart's broken. God, I'm really concerned about this. The reason I can't talk about this right now is because I can't stop thinking about this. This relationship hurts. This is what they did to me, God. Did you see when they did that to me? And this is what it feels like, God. I just started dumping the whole thing out to God. The reason you're distracted is because you're praying about the wrong thing. What would happen if you just prayed about what you're distracted by? That's what's really happening, right? And that's these things that he's talking about. Pray like this. These are the things people are distracted by. I need provision. I can't even pay my bills. Well, that's a thing to pray about. God, I need peace in my relationships because they're broken. That's what he's praying about. He's praying about completely mundane, everyday stuff because that's the kind of thing you talk about with your friend. And that's what prayer is. You don't have to stay on target. You just have a conversation like you would with your buddy. This is what's on my heart, and this is what's hurting me. It can be short. It's not mystical. Just tell the Father what's in your heart. And the third thing I notice about this prayer is this. You notice the way he opened? The very first thing he says in this prayer, Father. This is the most important. This is the very first step, the most important thing. The way I start a conversation with my wife is I say, honey, or I say, darling. The way he started a conversation with you is he said, Jennifer, B. He starts a conversation by calling your name. The reason we start with Father is because the Holy Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father. He's our Father. And the way you start, this is not how you start prayer. This is how you start a conversation. Father, Abba. My God. So this is the bottom line today. This is what I'm asking. In 2024, This is the charge of Unite Church. We're going to become a house of prayer. We're going to do it, guys. We're going to obey Jesus, and we're going to become a house of prayer. If it kills us, we're going to become a house of prayer.
It'll resurrect us anyway.
That's right. By the way, it is going to kill us. There's a lot of things in me that's going to get killed as we're becoming a house of prayer. There's a lot of things in you that are going to get killed that are as we're becoming a house of prayer. There's a lot of things that you used to desire that you're not going to desire anymore as you become a person of prayer. There are a lot of ways that we're going to change, and we're not going to be the same person. There are things that are going to slough off of us. We're going to be transformed as we become people of prayer and a house of prayer. And that's what we're doing this year, guys. And this is my charge this weekend. Just start the conversation. Just start the conversation. You don't have to do it right. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be short. It can be mundane. Just start the conversation. Are you hearing me? Who's willing to just talk to God every day? I want to ask you, show me your hand if you're willing. I'm just going to talk to God every day. All right? This is how God built all of creation. It's how you were born. And this is how everything that he's going to do on earth is going to be born too. Just us talking to God. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. And if the altar workers will come down. As we're talking about this, I'm aware. First of all, I hope I didn't say anything that offended you. I may have. I do, usually. I apologize for that. You can be offended with me. Just don't turn it towards Jesus, okay? It's not his fault I'm a problem child. But you may not know Jesus, and you may not be able to talk to God as your father because you don't know him as your father. Or maybe you didn't have a great father. And thinking about talking to a father, it doesn't give you good feelings. God is not a bad father. He's a good one. If you were to make a list of everything you wished your dad had been, God is better. He's a better father. I love my earthly dad, but God's an even better father. And God wants to be your father today, too. He loves you very much. So if you just close your eyes and just listen and be in a prayerful moment, if you're already a believer, just be praying for the people in the room who aren't. God started a conversation with us because he loves us. He also knows us, and he knows the real us, and he knows we're broken people who sin. And because of that sin, we are eternally separated from God. But God loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who never sinned, to pay the ultimate price by taking the punishment for our sins on himself. Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he rose alive from the grave to prove he's the Son of God. And today, if you can believe he did that for you, you can give your life to the Father. You can give your life to Jesus, who gave his life to you, for you. Jesus will forgive your sins and he'll save you. And he'll make you a child of his Father, just like he's a child of his Father. He's inviting everybody into a relationship.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.